Praise God. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Well, go to your Bibles. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9 to 10, King James Version. We're going to carry on a little bit about the love of God and talk about the love walk. I think we talked about that last time. The love walk, continue a little bit on that, and there's other series that I'm on, and we'll continue on that as well. We'll continue on the series about honoring and respecting, and when you start teaching on something and you're learning something, you get challenged right away, how to do it. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Everybody say love shows mercy. Say, love does not judge. So it said, our title is Love Shows Mercy Nor Judges. Text, Romans or 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Everybody say, I am taught of God to love everybody. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So in this scripture, we can understand that brotherly love needs to abound. We need to love one another. Brotherly love grows. We can get better at loving people. We can get better at loving ourselves. Sometimes we don't love ourselves the way we should. We judge ourselves harshly. We condemn ourselves. We do all kinds of things when already God has already paid the price, and yet we still continue to beat up ourselves. And then we beat other people up too. And we said 2 weeks ago, when we talked about this, we said that hurting people hurt people. And when people are hurt, sometimes when we go around our society, anywhere in our environment there, sometimes people are mean. Some people are not nice. But you know what? We don't know what's happening to them. We don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe they're stressed out. Maybe they ran out of money. Maybe they had a big fight. Maybe their husband left them. Maybe they had a infidelity situation, maybe whatever, they fell. And so sometimes we get mad at them, and we think that they should pull up their socks, when we should pull up our own socks. Amen? Like, we judge people. We judge one another harshly because we're hard on ourselves, and we put that on other people. We need to relax a little bit. Pull down your socks maybe a little bit. Instead of pulling them up, take them all off. Your sticky socks. So, the idea of tonight's teaching is this. Do not judge another person, and then you will not be judged. How many think that's a good plan? Amen? Say, I will not judge another person. Introduction. Love is a very misunderstood subject in church, because people have their own description of how they should be loving, how somebody should love them. Whenever something happens, they say, well, not very loving, those people. So the scripture that we just read is that God teaches how to love. It tells us there that God teaches. Let's go to the scripture again. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of the Lord, or taught of God, to love one another. So that scripture there tells us that God is actually your teacher on the inside of you. By the Spirit of God, He's teaching you. By His Holy Spirit, the Bible says that the love of God restrains us on the inside. When you want to tell somebody off, when you want to give them the peace of your mind, when you want to call them up and blast them, something on the inside of you stops you and says, you know what, hey, that's not the right thing to do. Well, that's the love of God. The Bible said it constrains us. It controls our lives. The love of God controls our lives. And that scripture in Galatians says that love, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and so our love grows and develops. So we don't always want to give people the peace of our mind. Somebody said if you give too many pieces of your mind, you won't have any love for yourself. You got a small mind. You keep giving it away. Amen. But you'll gain more, right? If you want to look at it another way. So anyway, we're sometimes manipulated to love other people. We're made to feel guilty for not loving enough. You ever notice that? You don't love me enough. You don't ever tell me. You don't give me stuff. Shut up. You want to say that in your mind? Put that on your status. To all my brethren, shut up. Okay. Let's not be silly here. Okay. So sometimes even pastors and churches, they teach love from a condemning way. From a negative position. And it doesn't, in that kind of way, it doesn't make us want to love anybody. You better love me. I need some love. So God doesn't condemn us, nor does he convict us of stuff. You know, it's our own heart that convicts us. The scripture says our own hearts, our spirit, our conscience convicts us when we're not doing it or anything. So, but God will encourage us and God will lift us up and help us along the way. It's wonderful, isn't it? In John chapter 34 and 35, Jesus talks about a new commandment. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So Jesus said, the way I'm loving everybody, the way I'm loving you, is the same way you have to love everybody else. That's a command. It's not an option. That you also will love one another. This shall all men know, verse 34, that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. You know, the Bible says in John 15:9, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. So God wants us to love. You know, he said, the Father loved me, and I have loved you. You should do likewise. How tough is that? How hard is that? You know, we think, you know, we got to love somebody. We're gonna look at another scripture here in a moment, and you say, well, I can't do that. God is personally teaching us right now. You know, we see how miserable we are without God, eh? Yeah. We can't do too much. Well, you can powder your face tonight, comb your hair, but still, you know, on the inside, you come short. Put on some new shoes and clean clothes. But sometimes you don't feel good, even just doing, you know, stuff like that. But here's a definition of love. You know, here's a good meaning of love. Love prefers other people before themselves. Love doesn't harm another person. It does no harm to another person. Love does not remember the wrongs or the sins of other people or the failures of our people and say, look at that guy, how much he failed. Look at that, about 25 years ago you did that. You're a horrible person. God doesn't do that. God doesn't remember you, your sins. You know, when I go back home, people remember me about how I used to be. But according to the Word of God, I'm dead. I'm not the same guy. Amen? Neither are you. If you bring somebody else's sins up, what about your sin? Huh? So love doesn't remember the wrongs of other people. It takes no account. It takes care of people. love takes care of people. It cares for people. It cares about people's needs and how they, you know, how they are. Love will edify. Love keeps giving when it should stop. That's the kind of love God has. Keeps giving and giving. Love seeks the best or the good of every person. It will rejoice with people all the time. Love celebrates you. Luke 6:27 says, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you." I like to take that to my reserve. Eh? How would you like to take that to your neighbors, your friends, your family? Take that to your old crowd you used to be with and love them. You know, I wonder what those people were thinking about Jesus is telling them this, you know. Let's go ahead and read that again. Luke 6:27. "I say to you," just Jesus talking, which here, "love your enemies." I want you to think about somebody. Think about an enemy you have right now. Think about somebody who's been against you, who's been fighting against you, who hates you, who doesn't like anything about you, who wants to see you fail, and they don't want to see you go ahead in life. The Bible says, go ahead and love them. But you say, "Well, how can I do this, man? This is hard. This is hard." You know? People say, "How can I do this? How can I do this? What can I, you know? These people hurt me. You know? These people wrong me." We say that. So remember this, that love is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. You know, we have this romanticized idea about what love is. We think love is like, you know, a nice sunset, you know, some nice glasses there, some roses. You're looking into each other's eyes. Maybe some wine there. Amen. Pack of smokes. Hey? Am I in the wrong church or what? Huh? This will come back to you in a moment. This is what I'm talking to you right now. It'll come back to you. You're judging me right now. Amen. And so we have to understand that love is not a feeling. Love is actually a command of God. Love is not an option. So you can't say, "Well, I'm taking a day off today. I'm just going to be mean to everybody that comes my way." Every Tim Hortons server, man, they're going to get a piece of my mind. You know, I don't like those Walmart, those Walmart people there. I hate them. I hate every one of you individually. No? So actually, you know, love is a person. And he lives inside of you. And he's strengthening you right now. And he'll help you love your enemies. Follow the command. In the army, when your commander says, do 10 push-ups or, you know, go get me a coffee. you run and get coffee. You say, "Well, I'll think about this for a while. I'm going to pray about it." No, you have to go. There's a centurion that said to Jesus, "Hey, you know, I tell my servant, do this, he does it, and my, you know, another one would go run over there, do this, and he does it." Let's go look at it here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10. "And when Jesus entered to Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, 'Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented.'" And this guy's in pain. How many people know that Jesus can take away your pain? "And Jesus said unto him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only.'" That's one of the highest kind of faith, is just acting on the word. "And my servant shall be healed." This is faith talking. He didn't say that he might be. He didn't say there's a chance he will be. He didn't say, anything like that, you know, percentage. He just said, you know, he shall be healed. That's faith talking. For I am a man, then he begins to talk about something here that he understands about the command. He says, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another man, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. I wish my dog would do that, somebody said. I want to show tricks. I want them to do tricks, you know. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. I like this, you know, Jesus marveled. You know, Jesus, you know, if you ever want Jesus to marvel at you, right? Ooh, look at her. Look at him. Look at him, how he does that. Look at Ernie. Let's look at Ernie. He marveled at Ernie. Look at his faith. Not his shoes, his faith. Hey? So he marveled, he said to him, that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not so found great faith, no, not in Israel. So we're not going to talk about the faith, but we're going to talk about the command. He just commands, you know. So when you're given a command, you just go ahead and do it. Jesus said, love everybody. That's a command. We're not to think whether or not they deserve it. Does that guy deserve love? You don't deserve any love. Look what they did. They killed somebody. Look what they did. They stole this and they treat this person bad. But the Bible says, you go ahead and love them anyway. He said, that's hard. That's hard. Luke 6:27 to 33. But I say to you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that takes away that cloak, forbid him to take away not that cloak also, coat also. Give every man that ask of thee, and to him that taketh away that goods, ask not him again. And as you would that men should do to you, do also unto them likewise. How many think that's a good, very, very good advice? Whatever you want somebody to do, do unto them what you would have them do to you or for you. I always try that to my wife and ask her, you know, I would say to her, I scratch her back, and she just she does it on very little lightly. So I scratch her back and I scratch it real hard. She says, no, don't do that, that hurts. But I said, the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. That means I want her to scratch my back hard. But it says in this scripture, in here, do good to everybody that you would have them to do. You know, anything you want other people to do good to you, you should be doing good to them in any way, shape, or form. So, give to every man that ask of thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would that men should do to you, do also likewise to them. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For even sinners, or for sinners also love them that love them, love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For even sinners do the same. That means, you know, we're different from the fact that, you know, everybody is doing favors for one another. The Bible says, do a favor to them and love them whether they do anything good to you. That's a big difference. Because we could do it from the love of God. Verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. That's a good place to ask somebody for some cash tonight. No? And in your reward shall be great, and you shall be like children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. Look at that. Jesus said that God is thankful, or, you know, he's good to everybody. That God is good to every single person. He says, for he's kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So you and I are supposed to be kind to the people who are just ungrateful. They're ungrateful. I could add some words here. You're just add your own. You're kind. You're somebody who's so ungrateful, you know, you. I was told, here's what I told one of my teachers, and Rayma said to me, you know, if you do something for somebody and you expect thankfulness, thank you, then you have lost your reward. Don't force people to say thank you. Just give it to someone, no matter what they say to you. So we're taught to be kind, and we're taught politeness, all right? Whether somebody thanks you or not, you're doing it unto God. Think about that next time. If you just ask, if you do something, you're just waiting around, you know, I want somebody to thank you. You know, you just got your reward, right? Well, is it true? So she knows that. So we're not going to wait around for thank you. We're just going to give somebody, we're going to be nice. Verse 36, 37. But ye be merciful. Look at your neighbor and tell them to be merciful. It's important that you show mercy to people, kindness. So we just finished saying, you know, in our introduction and in our title, you know, judge not, you know, and you'll not be judged. What do we call our title tonight? You know, love is merciful. Love is merciful, and the person of love lives inside of us. He says, be therefore merciful. Love is so merciful that it's kind to the unthankful. Love is so merciful that it shows love to the evil. That's awesome. Just think about the wildest, the worst, sinner or man or woman in jail that killed people, and you know, God asking us to be merciful to them. You know, can we do that? That's tough. The Bible says there's a time when God won't forgive you. There's a time when God will not forgive you unless you start forgiving other people. That's scary. Then, you know, you want God to forgive you, and you want that freedom. We need to learn to follow the command. We're not to judge other people. We're not qualified to judge other people, ever. We'll never be qualified to judge somebody else. So we have many, many people who are judging people every day, and that's a huge mistake to make. To go around and judge people, look at that guy, look at this person, you know, they're not as good as me, and look at this guy, you know, he's been trying all his life, he just got nothing, look how much I got, look what I did. You know? And they've been trying to get sober, and they're drinking all the time, and look at their marriage, look at their bad marriage. Right? And so we judge people. So that's a big mistake, to judge someone. Love will always show mercy. Love will never judge another person. We are not to judge other people. As we said, we're not qualified. Judge means that you're, what does it mean to judge? It means that you're deciding whether or not someone deserves something. It's not our place to make a decision like this about anything or anybody. We don't judge people. We're only to judge ourselves and make the correction. We ought to quit judging people just like God says. Quit judging people. Romans 12:1 says this, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou judgest. For thou that judgest does the same things. God says, you know, when you judge people like that, you're doing the same thing. You're actually, you know, the Bible tells us really plainly there that we're condemning ourselves. When we judge somebody, we're actually condemning our own selves. If we judge other people every day or the days that we live in, we're not following the command of love. Jesus gave us his love, and love does not judge. Judging someone is a very serious thing. Judging other people is a way of the hypocrite, the lifestyle of a hypocrite. You judge other people, then you got stuff going on in your life. What about you? Huh? Look at that guy. Look at that guy. How bad that person over there. Smoking cigarettes. Well, I quit smoking when I first got saved. I was just, you know, just threw my cigarettes away and that's it for me. I didn't smoke again. Look how big that guy is, how fat he is. I used to be that way, now I'm skinny. I'm not going to point at you. But we judge people. Look at her skirt. Her skirt should be shorter, longer than shorter than that. What is that? All the men say that, eh? That's a little bit short. If you judge, you'll be condemning yourself. If you judge someone, you'll continue to keep falling yourself. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Go to James 2. Everybody say, I'm getting free from judging other people. Say, I'm going to stop judging other people right now. So it says over here, James 2, verse 1 to 4. My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there's come unto you an assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, probably talking about somebody in here. There cometh also a poor man in vile raiment. You ever see a man with vile raiment come in here? There's a few. And you have respect to him that wear gay clothing. That doesn't fit very good, this language that here tonight. This is old King James. And he said to him, sit down here in a good place, and said to the poor, stand over there. Or sit over on my footstool. Go sit on the floor over there. Are you not partial in yourselves? You've become a judge of evil thoughts. God is telling us, you know, we judge people on the exterior of everybody. We look at their lives. Oh, he drives a nice car, so let's be friends with him. You know, where's the nice suit? It looks good. And we told the other guy over there, he doesn't have very nice clothes. You go sit in the back over there. We don't want to see you over here. You know. So it's a tough thing, man. I tell you, we need to stop doing this. If this is in the Bible, then somebody in here has been doing it. Or all of us. And maybe, all of us are probably guilty in some area. John 7:24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We can't judge, you know, what you see. We're very limited by what we see. So God will only judge. We can't see on people's hearts. We can't see, you know, we judge externally. And 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees, for a man looketh not on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So we look at things from a different perspective, don't we? We can look only from the external perspective, and we judge people from that perspective on what we see them doing and how they're performing. We don't know how much they're trying in their heart, how much they're really earned to be successful. So it's not right for us to judge people. The Bible tells us to, not to. Let's read again James chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to person. So we can't be partial with people and different things, you know, because we think they deserve our honor or respect or our judgmental or non-judgmental attitudes. Let's go look at this again. For if there come unto you assembly a man with gold ring and goodly apparel, there also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that have weareth the gay clothing, and ye say unto him, thou sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not partial then in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? And then verse 8:11, if you fulfill the royal law to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect unto the persons, you commit sin. Like you're just judging people. If you judge people just because external things that they're doing or because certain qualities and qualifications you think is right for you, you know, we look at people, we compare people, and we say, I like this person better because they have nice clothes or they do this well, whatever. We the Bible says we become judges. And we're wrong. We can't do that. So we commit sin. We are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. If thou commit no adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So, you know, there's different ways you can break the law. Luke 6:39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but thou perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either thou, how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in your eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. God calls you hypocrite and me hypocrite when we look at other people. We judge them and say, hey, let me help you. You have a bad situation going on. I want to help you because after all, I'm better than you. I'm the one with the gay clothing. And you have vile raiment. Hey? I like the guy with the gay clothing. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of your own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. In other words, listen, mind your own business, take care of yourself, you know, and maybe someday along the line you'll help somebody else. And we're always trying to judge somebody else about everything. And God doesn't want us to do that. Check yourself on first. The moment you see wrong or think somebody's in the wrong and you see, you know, about your brother, first look at your own self. Examine your own life. See where you're wrong. The reason you see a problem in somebody else and the reason why you hate that thing that's going on in them or their behavior, whatever, their attitude, is because you have a problem too in your own life. Amen. That's what the Bible says. You say, look at that guy. Look at his attitude. Well, look at your own attitude. That's, you know, that's Jesus, man, he goes right to the, you know, right down to it, eh? The reason we see this, so it's practical examination time, folks. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. You know, we say, Lord, please humble me. No, God's not going to humble you. You humble your own self. God will, you know, people always pray, Lord, humble me, Lord. No, the Bible says, humble yourself. Read it. And he shall lift you up. Look at this. Speak not evil of one another. Put that on your Facebook tonight. Your status. And then, you know, we get mad. Sometimes, you ever feel that? You just, I'm going to correct that guy. I'm going to tell him what I think. Just when you start typing it, the Lord constrained you. Said, no, Listen, it's going to be your time one of these days. You better put that away. Before you put send, So, speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speak evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You know, we need to be, you know, we need to be more of a doer than judging the law. A judge is not a doer, but a hypocrite, it says. Verse 12, there is only one lawgiver who's able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judges another person? Who are you to go and make judgment on somebody else? That's what he's saying. There's only one judge, one lawgiver, and it's not you, nor is it me. Romans 14. Here's another example. He that He that is weak in his faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. How many of you herb eaters here? I said, you know, before eating your hamburger, huh? You're judging the guy down there, he's eating, I don't know what he's eating, something green. Well, we eat both greens and meat. Judge him that eateth, for God received him. Who art thou to judge another man's servant? You know, like that, we judge people about everything. So this is talking about faith here. You're judging somebody's faith life. Somebody can eat bacon if he wants to eat bacon. There's a few bacon eaters here. Others say, you know, listen, I'm just, herbite. I'm going to eat this, I'm going to eat that, you know. So we should all go on diet. Let's invite each other out tonight for something to eat. With chicken, yeah, oh yeah, I love chicken. You know that. Ernie, where's my bag? Huh? So, who art thou to judge another man's servant? You know, God, you know, it's talking about their judging people's belief system. That's what he's talking about. You know, we judge people, their Christianity. We said different things about people because they believe certain things. You know, we shouldn't be doing that. Everybody is at different stages of their spiritual growth. Everybody. We all have different stages of faith, spiritual development. We have different faith and the gifts of the Spirit or Holy Spirit or prayer or whatever it is. We can't judge people. We let God help them out. So we judge people about smoking cigarettes and drinking or taking drugs. You know, you've been in Christian for a long time. How come you're still smoking? You still listen to the 70s hits? What kind of person are you? Eh? And we judge people about a lot of things. And we ourselves and doing something wrong in our own home. When everybody goes out, you put the shades down, and then you start watching, you know, Gunsmoke or something. You know, somebody who watches Gunsmoke needs help. Amen. Let's go ahead and close before I get into trouble here. Amen. Let's stand up. Say, I'm not a judger. Thank you, Lord. Say, I'm a mercy giver. Say, I'll extend mercy to my family and also my enemies and everybody else I meet today or tomorrow. From now on, I'm going to clean my own act up. I'm going to judge myself. Whenever I see something in other people's lives, that I don't like about them, I'm going to look at my own life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now we repent of our judging. We don't want to have a judgment come upon us. So thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for cleansing us tonight. And we're repenting of judging other people about what they do, what they don't have, and how they should be this way, how they should be that way. We're judging people how they're parenting, judging people how they're living a Christian life, how they pray, and how much money they give or don't give, and how much they're serving, don't serving. Father, you're the judge of all people. And we're not going to be take on that job because we don't want it, we don't need it. And we want to thank you. We extend faith and love and mercy to all our friends and family. Thank you tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, for forgiving us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. All right. Have a good night, everybody. Amen. Those of you that are watching online, if you don't have Jesus in your life right now, I would ask you right now, if you're a Christian and if you haven't really made Jesus the Lord of your life in totality, it's a good time right now to give yourself to Jesus. You might be born again already. You were filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. Make a dedication tonight and ask Jesus, forgive me. I want to walk with you. I want to come back to you in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I want to thank you for my friend that he's coming back to you. He said, forgive me. Cleanse me from my ways. And those of you that have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you say this simple prayer, say, dear Lord God in heaven, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ for sending your Son to die for my sins. I agree with your word that he is Lord and Savior, and now he's Lord and my Savior, and I'm now born again and your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us know if you have been born again. Like, I've had friends who call me, they message me on Messenger, on Facebook, and they say, hey, Pastor Roma, I watch your program, and I enjoy it, and I want to let you know that we want to send you something. We want to help you.